This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sorry about the last connection. The connection was a little bit bad, so I'll start this over again, inshallah. So what we're going to discuss today is we're going to discuss about seven ways to go to Jannah. And what you've got to know is that everything that we know of Jannah, whatever we know of Jannah, no person has ever heard of, no person has ever seen, no person would have ever known what is actually in Jannah. Now, a person can continue to try and, you know, get descriptions of Jannah, but you never know what's actually in there. So I'm giving an example of, let's just say, for example, you have a grape in this world. When you look at a grape, you kind of say to yourself, okay, there's a grape here. I know what a grape is like. And when I go to Jannah, I'm going to see a grape in Jannah, just as I've seen a grape in this world, because Allah has described that there will be grapes in Jannah. Or like, for example, the water that we know in this world, you think that the water is going to be the same as the water that's there in Jannah. The answer is actually no. The things in Jannah, what Allah Azza wa Jalla would have given everyone, is going to be very, very different from what we know in this world. Even men, women, the way we are, the way we see each other, our functionality and so on, everything's going to be different in Jannah. Allah Azza wa Jalla has created such a place that nobody has ever seen. Only Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has seen. When he went to Jannah himself on the night of Mi'raj, he's the only human being, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that went into Jannah, saw Jannah, experienced Jannah, heard it, and came back to this world. Nobody else has actually gone into Jannah. Nobody else has ever experienced Jannah. Now, there are many, many ways to go to Jannah. One of the common things that you need to know is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given a description of the type of people that are going to go to Jannah. So he's spoken, you know, about common people who have got a common heart, that's a normal heart. You know, these are like people who are looked down upon. These are people who people don't give credit to. They don't give any kind of dignity, anything to. These are people who are, you know, the type of people who, when you go, let's just say, for example, you went to a wedding, or you went to a, you know, went to the masjid, and you see certain types of people, and you look at them, and you think, well, that's the average Joe. That's the average Joe that is there. Now, those are actually the real people who will be in Jannah. You know, Jannah will be actually full of people who would have had just a normal heart. They're just a normal heart. The kind of heart that is forgiving heart, the kind of heart that is easygoing, that's where Jannah people are. Now, do you know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually stood at the doors of Jannah and he said, when I stood at the doors of Jannah, this is a vision that he got of the afterworld. When he went on the night of Mi'raj, Allah made him stand at the doorway of Jannah, and the Prophet ﷺ saw the kind of people that are going to go into Jannah. He said, most of those that I saw going into Jannah are the poor people. So, you know, a lot of us that are thinking that, well, why didn't I get the monies and why didn't Allah make me rich and so on? Well, the reason why you're probably not rich is because you're probably going to get to Jannah before others. The people who had actually a lot of money, they were actually kept behind because they still had to give a lot of their accountability to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now, we have we have many opportunities to get into Jannah, and I'm going to mention to you seven different ways of getting to Jannah, right? So the first one that I'm going to start off with, a way to get into Jannah, is that Allah Azza wa Jalla has said to us, His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us, man yadman li ma bayna lahyayhi wa ma bayna farjayhi adman lahu al-jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that whoever can guarantee for me whatever that which is between their jawbones and that which is between their thighs, if you can guarantee to safeguard that, then I will guarantee for you Jannah. Okay, so what does that mean? That means to guard the tongue and to guard the private part. So it's, subhanAllah, you know, this really goes down to self-control. And we're doing that, inshallah, bi-idhnillah, in Ramadan, we're doing that. Now, to guard what's between the jaws. What does that mean? That means you stay away from backbiting. Look, backbiting, let me tell you something about backbiting. Okay, I, alhamdulillah, to my best, I do my best not to be in a gathering of backbiting. If there's backbiting going on, I'll actually just say, look, guys, this is backbiting. I'm not part of this. That's what you're supposed to do when you're in a gathering. Do you know the Quran has actually said that if you're in a gathering where backbiting or something, some not back, just backbiting, but something happens which is of sin, and if you stay in that gathering and you stay quiet and you listen to everything, then you're part of it. That's the thing, you're part of it. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to get up. You're supposed to first tell them to change the subject. If they don't change the subject, then you get up and you just leave. That's what a believer should do. Now, thing is, when I have gatherings, okay, I'm going to do my best not to have any backbiting there. And that's one of the ways of securing that between the jaws. Another one is to, you know, false rumors and spreading false information. Now, a lot of people need to get a grasp of this, because when you get something straight away on your WhatsApp and you want to just forward it to others, be careful, please, because if it's not verified information and you're part of spreading rumors to others, then you're responsible for that. And you're going to be, I want to tell you one thing, right? Just because something's on the phone doesn't mean that it doesn't have the same degree of Sharia applying to it as it applies to your tongue, all right? A lot of people think that, okay, in my real life, I can't lie like this. I can't hide the truth like this. I can't do things like this in real life. But when it comes to the phone, you're behind a screen and a keyboard, and you kind of think that it's okay for me to say all of this. It's okay for me to spread this message without verifying it. You wouldn't do that same thing in your own house, so why do it on the phone? And the same thing applies. If you actually, you know, press those things, let's just say the keyboard, and then you send the message, and it was a message that's going to harm people outside there, then you're responsible as well for that. So all the things of the tongue, whether it's to do with any of the, you know, false rumors, stirring, another one is massive one, is stirring between people. People get jealous, then they with their tongue, they want to stir. They want to say one thing here, they want to say another thing there, because they've got jealousy. Their real problem is they've got jealousy. Now, jealousy is one of those things Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to you, has given to me, to every human being to deal with when the time comes. Arrogance is another one. You've got to deal with it. Don't bring racism onto your tongue because you kind of feel you're above others. Right? It's a whole test. Now, the Prophet ﷺ said, whosoever can guarantee, you know, what's between the jawbones. Now, subhanAllah, you know, one really easy way of controlling this is, before you say something, put a process in that you think of it before you say it. So look, I'm going to give you a way of trying to practically control the tongue. Whatever you're going to say, think about it. Think what I'm about to say. Think about the consequences of what I'm about to say. Think about what might happen once I've said it and what the effects of it are going to be, the ripples of it are going to be. So you think of it. Weigh it in your mind, all right? So the next process is to weigh it in your mind. Weigh the whole thing of how heavy, how this is going to be, how people are going to receive it, how this person is going to receive it, all right? So first is think about it. Then it's weigh it in your mind properly. And then you say it, right? Three processes to saying something. Now, if you're able to put that thinking process in, it really helps you. I'll tell you another one that will help you a lot, okay? This is one that I do as well, and you might find this a little bit funny, but it's going to help you, right? You know, if you have normally in the daytime, whatever, now and again, it might happen any day, all right, that you kind of want to let some wind out, right? If you have a thinking process to say, should I let it out or not? Do I need to keep my wudu or not? It actually helps you to keep your wudu. Your wudu for the right time when you need it, all right? So if you have a process in your mind of what's coming out of my mouth, you kind of think, well, let me think about it. Should I say it? Let me wait. What kind of effects is it going to have? And then you say it. That will do a lot. Do you know certain Sahaba, radiallahu anhu ajma'in, when they heard how much the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the ills of the tongue and what it's going to bring in the akhirah, do you know what a lot of Sahaba, quite a few Sahaba did? From one Jum'ah to another Jum'ah, they actually counted how many words they uttered. That is significant, subhanAllah. They knew from one Jummah to another Jummah how many words they had uttered. The rest of the time they spend in dhikr. And this is one of the ways of controlling the tongue, which is you spend your time in remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. And the more you do that, the more you've got now an alternative way of trying to trying to say your dhikr, and it's an alternative thing to distract you from using your tongue with saying bad things. The second part of that hadith the Prophet spoke about is to protect what is between one's thighs. And that is something which if a person is able to do. Now, the thing is with that, look, if you can control your eyes, then you control the next thing. There's a whole hadith in Muslim that talks about the whole thing, okay, that leads you down to the actual act, which is the haram act a person can do with their private part. So the Prophet has told us that first you control your eyes. If you're able to do that, then you move to the next thing, which is you're able to then control your tongue, you're able to control your ears. Because a person wants to listen to that person or talk to that person once they've seen that person, right? So it moves in stages. And then the Prophet talks about the hands, talks about the feet, and then talks about the heart, whether the heart's going to accept doing the act or not. So the first and foremost part of actually controlling that which is between the thighs is the eyes. If you can control the eyes, then you've controlled all of it. So if you don't even look at the haram, if you don't even give yourself an opportunity to look at haram, then you saved all the other parts that come after that. So anyway, that's the first way to get to Jannah. Whosoever the Prophet says, whoever can guarantee me that to protect what is between the jawbones and between the thighs, I will guarantee for them Jannah. The second one I want to cover for you of the ways of getting to Jannah, and it's a very beautiful one, which is that a lot of us end up getting daughters, alhamdulillah, and each and every one of those daughters is actually a ticket to go to Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, and this is for both men and women, don't think this is just for the fathers, this is also for the mothers, right? So you end up with a daughter, you end up with a few daughters, or even less than that. So what happened is that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one of his gatherings, he said, whoever has three daughters and brings them up with a good Islam and good tarbiyah, good way of nurturing them, whoever does that, then they would enter Jannah. So what happened is one Sahabi said, Messenger of Allah, what about if somebody has two daughters? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, okay, even if you have two daughters and you give them a good Islam and you bring them up with a good mold Islam, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will enter you into Jannah. And then a woman said, Messenger of Allah, what about if a person has one daughter only? And the Prophet said, whoever has one daughter and they bring them up with a good Islam and good tarbiyah, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will then enter them into Jannah. Subhanallah al-Azim. So here we've clearly got, if you've got a daughter, subhanallah, or if you've got more than one daughter, this is your way of getting into Jannah. So what you've got to do is give them a good Islam, because the reason why is because between the time the Prophet all the way to and so on, it's going to happen. It's a thing that, and that he's going to take opportunities in this world. That people sort of, they shouldn't do this, okay? They shouldn't do this, but they'll sort of say, I'd rather have a son than a daughter. I'm going to meet out there who love daughters. I love my daughter as well, and I'm really, I love my sons, I love my daughter, right? And we're supposed to be very equal between in terms of our love. But unfortunately, there are people who don't have that equality. And for that reason, the Prophet ﷺ, till the Day of Judgment, has said that whoever will have three daughters or even two daughters or even one, then Allah Azza wa Jalla will actually, and if they bring them up with Islam and the good tarbiyah, Allah will put them into Jannah. So that's the second one I've covered for you. The third one is the Prophet ﷺ, spoken about the 99 names of Allah. And he said to us that Allah has 100 but one names, which means 99 names. And whosoever will memorize them, okay? Now there's two meanings of this. One is if you actually memorize the 99 names. And the other one is that you try and live by the names, which means that you know what the names are, and you try and then live by the qualities of those good names. So when you have like Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, so on, you try and bring mercy into yourself, right, into your life. When you listen to something like Al-Ghafoor or Al-Afu, Allah forgiven, you try and bring forgiveness into your life. So some have said that, but others have said merely just to memorize the 99 names, that is a way of getting into Jannah. So I'll give you a challenge. All right, this is the month of Ramadan. We're in lockdown. It's a beautiful time to actually sit down and start to memorize the 99 names of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now, some say that that hadith is weak. Imam Nawawi has looked at the chains of this and has said it definitely lives up to Hassan. Which is, or even Hassan al-Ghayrihi, which it leads to, it levels up to a good chain, right? So some might have said that, but that is the case. And there's been various ulama, even after Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, who have actually said that you don't have to reject that hadith with the 99 names. Anyway, so one good practice you can do is that you can start saying the 99 names of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you can make a dua. And I'm going to share with you a beautiful dua that you can add to the 99 names. So I'm going to say to you that, look, you can, because Allah said in the Holy Quran, He said, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah has the most beautiful names, so call onto Him through those beautiful names. So you can call onto Allah Azza wa Jalla by saying the 99 names. How? You just have to say in the beginning, يَا مَنْ هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَهُ الرحمن الرحيم الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر الخالق البارئ المصور الغفار القهار الوهاب الرزاق الفتاح العليم القابض البصر and go all the way up to his name الصبور. So I've even got a series on these, on the 99 names on the internet and YouTube. You can see them one by one. I think there are about 28 videos of about 1 hour each and so on. So if you want to use those videos to learn them, you can. Otherwise, just sit down and just look at the 99 names, and few by few, you can learn them each day. We might be in lockdown for another 99 days. You know, who knows? So you can actually use this opportunity to look at the 99 names. Start with a few and then add every single day. If you can memorize the 99 names, and then you can say this dua. This is a beautiful dua I'm going to give you, which is from Imam Bukhari's Adab al-Mufrad. Okay, he's got another book called Adab al-Mufrad, and there's a beautiful dua there. What is that dua? That dua is... when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Aisha radiallahu anha once, and he asked her to come, and she took a little bit of time to come. When she actually came, the Prophet inquired and he said, "Why is it that you took a little bit of time to come?" And she said, "Because I was engaged in dua." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, "Why didn't you say this dua, which would encompass and which would have all of what you've just said, right, and much more?" What is that dua? Beautiful dua. Now listen to this dua. If you can add this dua, even if you don't know the 99 names, you can add this dua to your category of duas every day, even especially if start time, subhanAllah, it's a wonderful dua. It is a comprehensive dua which is being delivered to us succinctly by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you say that dua, you can get so much within that. What is that? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu anha, say this, Allahumma inni as'aluka ma sa'alaka minhu abduka wa nabiyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, oh Allah, I'm asking you all the things that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your servant and your prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prophet that you sent, need to also make all those du'as to you. I'm making the same du'as to you, and whatever he asked for, I'm asking for the same thing. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الشَّرِّ كُلِّ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ So اللهم إني أسألك ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأعوذ بك مما تعوذ منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. And I am seeking your protection from all those things which your servant and the prophet which you sent to us, that prophet has sought protection from. I'm seeking all the same protections. I'm asking you for the same protections. And then to add this on, وَمَا قَضَيْتَ لِي مِنْ قَضَاءٍ فَجْعَلْ عَاقِبَتَهُ رُشْدًا. Whatever you have decreed for me, make the end matter something which is going to be very, very much on the straight, very much like something that I would want it to be, or would be the best thing for me. Make that be that. So whatever thing that you've actually predicted, whatever thing you've written in my fate, I want that to be the best thing for me to happen to me, right? And make that happen. So what you've done is in this dua, you've included all the great du'as, which the Prophet ﷺ has said. You've included in it all the things that he saw protection, right? And all of that is given to you within this one du'a. And all your fate, you're asking Allah Azawajal to make you the best fate you can. So best fate he can. So now, the 99 names, if you can add, you can say those 99 names and then you can add this dua at the end, it becomes a beautiful sort of combination together. Anyway, that's the third thing. So whoever has memorized the 99 names, they will go to Jannah. So I've covered for you about the first one. I've said to you, whoever can guarantee whatever is between the jaws, and the second one is between the thighs, if they can guarantee that, then the Prophet also guarantees Jannah. The second one is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about the girls and the daughters that we have. If you can bring them up with Islam and tarbiyah, then Allah azza wa jalla will give you, will enter you into Jannah. The third one I've told you is about the 99 names, right? And to memorize the 99 names and so on and so forth. The fourth one I'm going to say to you is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has spoken to us and has told us about looking after a yatim or an orphan, right? Now, people think that if you just support an orphan once, then that's your duty. That's not what the hadith actually meant, right? So the Prophet ﷺ has actually said, whoever will take care of an orphan, then he and I or she and I will be in Jannah like this. And what he did is showed his two fingers with a slight gap in between, meaning that we're going to be next to each other in Jannah. Now, some people think that if you support an orphan once or here or there and that's done, that's not the case. The thing is, if you're going to be supporting an orphan, you have to support them from the moment they've lost their father. Let's say a child has lost their father or their mom and dad, they've lost them. From that time until they become old enough to look after themselves, until they get to, the 17, 18, 19, 20, whatever, age where they can work themselves and they can look after themselves, until that age you look after them. So if you can find an actual orphan, I know a lot of people get excited and they kind of think, well, I'm just going to give my monies here and just do it here. No, look, I'm going to tell you a very good way of looking after an orphan, which a lot of people miss out on. Most of us have got connections with people and orphanages, or even people and families and so on back home in villages and so on, okay? You need to then ask around and actually find a real orphan you can visit, you know the name of, who he is or she is, and then that family, you keep direct contact with them. This is the best way of doing it, because that is direct help. Look, don't ignore the people who we've got back in our villages, the villages that our parents came from, our grandparents came from. We've still got connection with those, even if it's not that, even if you lost contact with that. What you can do is you can find around you, you can find real orphans. If you were to actually visit an orphanage near your place, or even in, when you travel, let's say you travel to Africa, you travel to India, you travel to Bangladesh, Pakistan, anywhere, different countries, Afghanistan, just go around, ask for a real orphan, find that family, note it down, get the number down, get the address down, and then every single month without delay, you send your support to that orphan. That's the best way of doing it. Then you really know where your money is going and that you're actually supporting them. I do have to say that this, why I'm stressing on this is because I want people to have the heart in the sadaqah. You can give sadaqah in many places and we do encourage that. But you want to try and, once in your life, if you can just do this, find a real orphan. If you find a real orphan, a real person to support, which it makes a massive difference. Anyway, this was the fourth one, which is to find an orphan, and that will be your way of getting into Jannah, inshallah. The fifth one, the Prophet ﷺ has told us that the five daily prayers, okay, and in fact, he's told us specifically, out of the five daily prayers, he's told us about the prayers that are done in the, he's called it the two cool prayers. Whoever does the two cool prayers, they will go into Jannah. What is that? Well, a lot of them have said that this is Fajr and Asr, because in the daytime, if you look at the day, the Fajr is early in the day and it's cool at that time, and Asr, by Asr time, the day gets cool. So they've said Fajr and Asr. And some ulama have said it's Fajr and it's Isha, because Isha is the coolest out of the 24 hours. So if you look at it from 24 hours, Isha and Fajr are the two coolest ones. If you look at it from the daytime, then it's Asr and it's Fajr. So whichever one it is, these two prayers, okay, and don't forget, Fajr has been mentioned in both of them. If you can keep on getting these prayers to be done, of course, we're going to do the other prayers as well, but just hang on to these, because these are the times when people don't want to probably pray because Isha is too late or Fajr is too early. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has guaranteed Jannah in return of that. Subhanallah al-Azim. Okay, this was the fifth one. The sixth one is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Subhanallah al-Azim, the Prophet ﷺ has told us that whoever can do a good wudu, whoever does a good wudu, and you know they really do the wudu well, and then they come to the prayer mat, and then they will pray a salah where their heart, neither their heart nor their eyes will drift to anywhere else except for Allah, which means that they've got full concentration of thinking about Allah, that Allah is there and Allah is watching me and I'm doing these prayers. Whoever can do a beautiful prayer like that from takbir, when they've said Allahu Akbar, to the salam, when they've said the salam, between those times they did not think about anything except for Allah, then that person has gone to Jannah, according to a Sahih Hadith of Bukhari. Subhanallah al-Azim. So that's another way of getting to Jannah, right? So getting just two rakats. I mean, just think about it, right? Two rakats, how many two rakats we've done. A challenge for you during this month of Ramadan is, can I get my first two rakats, or can I get my next set of two rakats where I don't think about anything except for Allah Azza wa Jalla? Because that is your ticket to Jannah, subhanAllah. Okay, another one, I'm going to say to you the last one, which is the seventh one. And the last one I'll give you is, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given us certain words, and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he narrates from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Sahih Bukhari, whoever is going to say these next words with iman from their heart, they mean these words. If you say these words after Maghrib and you die that night, you've gone straight to Jannah. And if you say this after Fajr and you die that day, you've gone to Jannah. And this is in Sahih Bukhari. What's that? What are those words? Those words are Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani wa ana abduk wa ana ala ahdik wa wa'adika mastata'at a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at wa abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayya wa abu bi dhanbi faghfir li fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta. So these words, which is Sayyidul Istighfar, if you go to the internet, you can find either you say the supreme words of forgiveness, put that into Google and it'll come up with it, or Sayyidul Istighfar, or you can go into YouTube and you can find one of my old videos on YouTube. I think it's named 15 Seconds to Jannah or something. And these are the words that will come up. And what are the meanings of this? The meaning of this is Allahumma anta rabbi, oh Allah, you are my Lord. La ilaha illa anta, there is no other God besides you. Khalaqtani, you created me. Wa ana abduk, and I'm your servant. Wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'adika mastata'tu, and I will do my best to fulfill the promise that I've got between me and you. And the promise is the promise of shahada, that I've accepted you as the number one in my life and accepted Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the number two in my life. So I will do my best to do that. And I will become in sharri ma sana'tu, I seek your pardon and I seek your protection from the evil that I've done, all the sins that I've done. Abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayya, I totally admit to all the gifts that you've given me and all the blessings you've given me. Wa abu'u laka bi dhanbi, and I'm also admitting to my sin. Faghfirli, my sins that I've done. Faghfirli, so forgive me. Fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa anta, for there is nobody else to forgive me except for you. You say that sincerely from the heart after Maghrib. If you die within that day, you go to Jannah. If you say it after Fajr, you die within that day, you go to Jannah. Subhanallah al-Azim. Now, just before I make a dua, so these are seven ways of going to Jannah. Tomorrow, the topic is going to be the seven people under the shade, inshallah. We're going to discuss the seven people under the shade. On the day of judgment, there is no other shade except for that one shade. We're going to discuss that, inshallah, tomorrow. Just before I make the dua today, I want to ask you, please, you've got a link in the bottom of this YouTube video that is there is for Helping Me Today, a charity which I'm looking over. Just please click that button before you go and do anything else, inshallah. Make your donation. This is for many different helps that we're giving throughout the whole of the world, inshallah. So you click that, inshallah, and the help will go out there in various things. Jazakumullah khair for watching. I'm going to make a dua now, inshallah, and then we'll conclude. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. O Allah, we ask you for all the good things which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked you for, your servant and the prophet you sent. Whatever he asked for, we ask him for the same thing. We ask you to protect us from all the things which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also sought your protection from during his lifetime. And anything good of our, anything fate that you've written for us, we want you to make that good for us. And the end matter, however it is, something that would be most suitable for us. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلق محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين برحمته يا رحمن الرحيم جزاكم الله خير brothers and sisters. Before you do anything, after I'm going to stop this video now, please go to the link at the bottom of this YouTube, the description. You'll find a link there. Make your donation, inshallah. May Allah Azza wa Jalla bless you, bless your whole family, protect all of you, protect everyone that you love. May Allah Azza wa Jalla make this a blessed Ramadan for all of us. Amin. Jazakum Allah khair. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.